tonight.
Hello, cocktail lovers. Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by the 52 Martinis Guide to Paris Cocktail Bars. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about the trends and traditions of drinking in France. This month, we have a return guest in the studio. It's Louis Glelay of Edu Whiskey, who we talked to actually about this buckwheat whiskey from Brittany in a previous episode, but he is a member of the fifth generation of family distillers at the craft distillery de Meunier in Brittany in Western France. And so he's coming back because he's going to talk to us about something else that's really interesting for me, because I don't think a lot of people talk about it very often, and perhaps people don't know about it. So we're going to dive into the product, what makes it unique, and maybe why we don't see it as much as we do some of the other interesting French products. And this is Lambique de Bretagne. So welcome back to the show, Louis. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for your invitation, Forrest.
So I think we should just dive right into it. I have a feeling that many of my listeners don't know what Lambique is. So can you just briefly explain what the product is?
Lambique from Brittany, or Lambique de Bretagne, as we said in France, is the equivalent of Calvados. But because we are Breton, we don't call it Calvados, we call it Lambique de Bretagne. And it's made out of local variety from Brittany, obviously.
So what does Lambique mean?
Lambique is it's the meaning of Breton apple brandy.
Okay. So just the word for, okay.
Yeah. And you know, in the past, the farmers or the villages, the device which is useful for making lambic is l'alambic in French.
Exactly. I wondered if there was some similarity to the meaning. So,
alambic in Britain is like le lambic. That's why it's called lambic.
Interesting. So Calvados is something that is pretty known worldwide outside of France, but Lambique is not something that you hear people talking about as much. Why do you think it's maybe not as well known?
Because I think that in Calvados or in Normandy, there was lots of numerous apple brandy producer. I also think that they are close to Paris, so it was easy for them to make business with the capital of France. And they've got the culture of apple distillation a long history in distillation apple compared to Brittany. Even if in Brittany we've got also our history, it's more recent, I would say, in Brittany. And I think that is the two or three details. That's why Calvados is more popular there than Lambique.
Well, I, for one, I'm very happy to hear about Lambique, to learn more about it, because I really do enjoy apple brandies. So this is, for me, it's a nice way to explore more of the world of apple brandies and go beyond Calvados. So, so let's talk more about the specifics of making Lambique. Are there several apple varieties that go into it? I know there's many, many that can go into Calvados. So what's that like for Lambique?
So at first, I would say that at the beginning of last century, Lambique was made by mobile steel producer.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, 100 years later, Lambique was made with bad cider. You know, when you distill bad cider, you can't have something good at the end.
Right. Yeah. It's good in, good out, or bad in, kind of bad out. So, yeah.
And in my family, we've been distilling for 5 generations. And the three first generation is so distill apple. But when my father in 1986 created the distillery de Menhir, he decided to save local apple varieties. And he decided to improve or to enhance the lambic quality. So he bought a column still, and he planted more than 30 hectares of apple. The quality was better because he also got advices from consultants, and the quality was better from the middle of the 80s. I would add that Plumelin, the village that where I live, in the middle of the in the 1950s, Plumelin was the capital of the Lambic. I think that there were 7 or 8 mobile still, and yeah, Plumelin was the capital of the distillation in Brittany, at this time. Yeah,
interesting. I also just want to kind of, just for my listeners, talk really quickly about this mobile still, because I know in different areas of France, this is something that happened. So this was, I guess, small producers, or I know, and sometimes there's even just families who are growing different things, and this still, to distill different spirits, not just Lambic, it travels around, it goes to different places in the region, so people can bring their produce there. These are people, small producers, that don't have the resources or the need for to own their own still. Did I describe that correctly, or is there anything else?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that's kind of a nice, interesting little community tidbit. So for Lambic, how is it consumed generally? Are people drinking it as a digestif, as an aperitif? Are they mixing it with things? How's it locally consumed?
That's an interesting question, because here at the distillery, we 2 products ourselves. There is a young lambic de Bretagne, aged 2 or 3 years in oak casks, and there is another one, older one. It's a 8-year-old aged in oak casks. I would say that the first one could be recommended as an after meal drink. And for the older one, for the old reserve, it would be for an after dinner drink, for those who appreciate the roundness of fine brandies.
Nice. Do you make any unaged white lambic?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And that's funny, because I think that it was maybe 15 years ago, my father created the first ever white lambic, or white Breton brandy. And we call it Guenaval, which means white apple in Breton language.
That's really nice. I've only recently tried white Calvados. I haven't had the opportunity to try the white Lambic, so the Calvados is the only thing I can compare it to. And I was really impressed, because I've had white spirits before and been less impressed. But with these apple brandies, the apple flavor in what I've tasted in terms of Calvados, it really comes through. It's really impressive. It's quite beautiful and elegant, I found. So I am looking forward to trying some white Lambic when I get the occasion.
Mm-hmm. Maybe when you will come to Brittany to visit.
Yes, I really need to come out and make a visit. I would love to do that. So it's on my list of things to do for sure. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about other apple products that you produce at the Distillerie de Menier?
Yeah, we also produce, as I said, in 1986, my father created the Distillerie de Menier. Apple product was better. I'm talking obviously about Lambic de Bretagne. I'm talking about cider. In 1988, my father also created the first ever Pommeau de Bretagne.
Interesting.
Have you ever heard about Pommeau? I guess.
Yeah, you know, I mean, our country house is very close to Normandy. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of Pommeau in the house for aperitifs and things. So, yeah, so that's, please explain to the listeners what it is.
So Pommeau de Bretagne is a blend of freshly pressed apple juice and Lambic de Bretagne. And then it's aged in French oak casks. But, you know, in 1988, when my father created this, we call it a mistel in French language, which is like a Pinot de Charente in cognac,
mm-hmm.
it did not know that this product was already invented in Calvados.
Really?
4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, because at that time, in the middle of the 80s, internet did not exist. So the information was very low to move, or I don't know how to express it, but it didn't have the information. So one day, a guy from the custom came to the Distillerie de Menhir and told to my father, you know, what you invented already existed in Normandy, and it's called Pommeau de Normandie. So my father was really disappointed because he thought that he was the first one who created a Pommeau. Or at that time, his product did not have the same name. The name was Apéritif de Menhir. And so he met the Calvados producer, and he had a deal with them to call his product Pommeau, but not from Normandy, but Pommeau from Brittany. And that's the story.
That's a very cool story, very interesting. And there's a lot of, when you talk about that, it reminds me that there's just really, these products are very similar between Brittany and Normandy, with the Calvados and the Lambic and the Pommeau and the cider. Do you think, is there something that for any or all of the apple products that you're producing in Brittany that defines them, that makes them different from the apple products that are coming out of Normandy? I mean, surely the apple varieties are different, the terroir is different, but are there any generalizations that you can share with listeners that define those products from Brittany specifically?
Okay, the question is can you reprecise?
Sure, I knew when I was asking it, I wasn't being
the
very clear.
The difference between Calvados and Brittany?
Yes, the difference between apple products in Brittany and apple products in Normandy. Is there specifics about Brittany? Like maybe they all taste sweeter or more dry. Those are very general, but the difference between the two regions and their products.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard one, I know. Sorry.
Yeah, no matter. Surely differences existed. I think that it comes from, you know, we call it terroir in France. We don't have the same varieties, the same. I would say that we have got approximately the same climates, but the soil, the terroir, the variety are different. So as a conclusion, I can say that the main difference between Calvados and our Normandy apple product and Breton apple product is the fact that in Brittany, I think that our products are more sweeter. And in Calvados, the products are more stronger. And it's not a question of I am better than the Normandish products. It's just the taste. It's like that. It's more well balanced with with Breton apple product, and it's more sugary. And but you know, when at the shop here at the distillery, we've got a shop, and when I've got people from Normandy who come to the shop, they are proud to say that they come from Normandy, and for them, Calvados or Pomme de Normandie is way better from Breton products. And I think that it's the, you know, it's the, we are proud of the region that where we come. And but I think that it's the personal taste of everybody that is the main judge.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think that terroir is such an important aspect of this distillation, not just distillation, but winemaking in France. So I do believe that one area is not necessarily better. It's a matter of taste, but I'm sure because you're so close, I'm sure there's a bit of hopefully good-natured rivalry between the two. But I think it's exciting that there's different pockets with different styles coming out of them. So it's, yeah, it's just interesting to learn about more. Now, is Lambic, is it very widely consumed outside of your region, or is it really something that's pretty consumed pretty locally? Like if you're in Paris, do you see it in the bars very often?
No, because I think that we are 10 times less sell than Calvados. Calvados is very popular in France and abroad. And for our Lambic de Bretagne, it's the question of promotion. We have to promote our appellation outside, not France, but outside Brittany. So it's the challenge. And but you know, I think that our Lambic is also a good value for money, because it's not as famous as Calvados. So then I know that in Germany, for example, they like brandy, apple brandy. So it's not so hard to sell those products to German people who like or who have the you know, the taste of apple brandy. So we have to promote it. We have to have the will to sell our product abroad, and finally, to as an answer to your first question, probably 95% of our production is sell in Brittany.
Interesting. Now, I'm assuming you're still the sales and export manager for the distillery, correct? So do you export any of it beyond France? So for example, a lot of my listeners are in the US. Would any of your product end up on the shelves or in bars in the US?
Unfortunately, not. For the moment, I've got a few Lambic volumes, so it's very hard to expand, because our production depends on our we are going to have with our orchards. And we can grow as high as I would like. And so for the moment, our Lambic is not in the US market, but it's more in Europe.
Okay. I can see where it would be very popular in Germany, because they also have that tradition of different brandies, different fruit brandies. So I can see where that would be very well appreciated. And for my listeners in the US, you'll just have to come to Europe to get a taste of some of this. What about your other, are any of your other products available in the US? The cider, I'm guessing maybe not if the Lambic's not, but is the whiskey, which I know that's a different episode, but can my listeners there at least maybe get a taste of your buckwheat whiskey in the US?
Yeah, I've got an importer in both in New York and New Jersey, and but it's very hard because my product my buckwheat whiskey needs to be promoted or to be company with consultancy, and I can't let the bottle just be on the shelves and. And then the consumer arrived in the shop and decided to buy my bottle. It's very difficult, I have to find an importer who will be a brand builder. So for the moment, you can find my product in New York or New Jersey, my buckwheat whiskey. But I am more focused on expand. I am focusing in expand my sales in the American market. But it takes times. But I have no doubt that I will succeed. But we need time.
Like anything that you do well, it just needs time. So that makes sense. Now, do you ever, because we're getting towards the end of the half hour and, you know, I usually share a cocktail with my listeners at the end of the half hour. So I've got one in mind that we could do with an apple brandy, but I just wondered if there's any sort of local, drinks that you make with the Lambic, like, is there something typical that you mix it with or never mix it?
Yeah. Close to my village, Plomla, in the Pays Bigoudin, which is very famous for the culture, the dance, the music. People enjoyed the Lambic de Bretagne with a dash of blackcurrant liquor. And it was really popular in this side of the Brittany, but to be more as a more useful or popular cocktail, Lambic is adapted for the Mojito recipe.
Oh, really? So you make a Mojito style drink with your Lambic?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Do you have specific amounts on that? So like how much Lambic would you put in there? And you're putting in mint and lime, I guess, and topping it with soda water?
So, but because I'm not a cocktail specialist, I've got the technical sheets behind, in front of my eyes.
Okay.
6 centiliters of Lambic or Guenaval, which is the black Lambic. 1 green lemon, 2 cube of brown sugar, a handful fresh mint, and just a few sparkling water. And for the recipe, you have to crush the lemon with brown sugar, add mint and add mint and fill in the crushed ice, pour the Lambic, mix well and enjoy.
That is an excellent recipe. I think that's very fun and cool because so many people love a mojito, but this is like a really nice, fun take on it with something really unique. And I can imagine how the mint and the apple and the lime will all play nicely together. So that's a great cocktail. Thanks for bringing that. And for listeners, I will also make sure to put the details of that in the show notes. And you won't be able, my listeners in the US really probably won't, unless you come and visit and buy a bottle, won't be able to get their specific bottle. So you might want to try that with whatever apple brandy you can find, but hopefully you can make your way here and and get the real thing. So, and with that, I think we're at the end of our half hour. Luigi, is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners or anything else that we didn't mention that you think they should know about Lombik?
No, I think that we talk about every aspect. But I would like to say that if your listener want to visit the distillery, they are welcome. They can visit every aspect of the distillation, the cellar, the whiskey cellar, the apple cellar, the still room. So they also they if they come to the distillery, they will see our standing stones, which is our logo, which represent our logo. They have been here for over 5,000 years, and it's full of spirits. So if they want to come, they will be welcomed.
That is excellent news. And I promise I will be getting myself out there one of these days soon because I would love to see it. So thank you for telling us about this really unique spirit. And thank you for joining me on the show today.
Thank you for your invitation and for your to be able to be to speak in English with me.
Well, I think your English is great. So so thank you again. And also big thanks to World Radio Paris for editing and production. And thanks to Sun Little for the music that we use. And that pretty much brings us to an end of this month's episode. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to go and leave a comment, go and leave a review or stars or whatever you do out there, wherever you listen to your podcasts. As I understand, that helps other people find the podcast. And as I do every month, I remind you to please drink responsibly. And until next time, cheers.
Shiver by.